Praise the Lord.
You happy to be out this evening?
Yes, amen.
Amen. Gather together and sing praises to our Almighty God. Amen.
Amen.
Let's all stand, if you will. Open before Him in prayer. Dear precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so grateful, Lord, for another day You've given us. Lord, we just can't help but think, Lord, of all Your grace and Your mercy, Lord, that You bestowed on us over the years, Lord. Lord, it just makes such a thanksgiving swell up in our hearts, Lord, for You, what You've done for us. More of appreciation, Lord, for who You are. Lord, we love and appreciate You with all our hearts this evening. We're thankful to meet You here once more. Lord, we come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask You to bless this service, everything that's said and done, be for Your glory and Your honor. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. He's so wonderful.
Yes,
he is. I'd like to turn our only belief to page 389. Amen. So often I think about the author of this song, what he must have went through. But he still come out and said, "It is well with my soul." Amen. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast Let the blessed assurance control us.
Amen.
That line just stuck out to me today. That Christ hath regarded my helpless estate. Amen. That's how I feel. And that shed his own blood for my soul. Amen. What a wonderful little song there. Amen. Like turn to page 682 in the same book. Amen. Amen.
Jesus, my Lord.
nothing quite like the sweetness of His Holy Spirit. Amen. When you feel Him moving on your heartstrings. Amen. So thankful. Think of that little song, "You Are My All in All," page 8 in our little capstone books. Amen. This is our life, saints. He is my all in all. Amen. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I see. You are my seeking You as a precious jewel. Lord, to give I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, hallelujah. Amen. Thank You. See, you can't do it without Him. I'll make thankful makes you feel. Amen. Brother Sellers, would you mind taking up the offering this evening? Think about His love. Think about His goodness. Think about His grace. That has brought us through. For His precious Heavenly Father, Lord, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, we are so thankful, Lord, that our hearts are not all crusted over, Lord, where we can't feel Your Holy Spirit. But Lord, Your grace imparted to us, Lord, breaks us down, melts us down, Lord, where we can feel and appreciate, Lord, when You are near. Lord, I just appreciate every opportunity, Lord, that You come to be with us. Lord, we just appreciate this little place, Lord, and be able to gather. Lord, to hear Thy word, Lord, and for You to meet our needs. Lord, one of the most important needs, Lord, in our life, Lord, is spiritual. Lord, we live in a day and age, Lord, that's so corrupt. Lord, corruption all around. But Lord, together in this little safe place, this little safe house, Lord, and to hear Your word come forth. Lord, it's life, Lord, it's music to our ears. Lord, that's what we need more than anything in this life, Lord, is Your word living through us. Lord, not only to hear it, Lord, but to go out and live it. Lord, to have such a desire burning in our hearts, Lord, we want to live for You with all that's in us. We want everybody around us, Lord, to see Jesus in me. Lord, that's why we've been sent here, Lord. By Your grace, Lord, You revealed that to us. But Lord, let us hold fast to what You've given us. Lord, and let us long and strive for what You have for us to come. Lord, I just ask You bless each and every need upon the people's heart, Lord, as they raise their hand. Lord, only You know what's on each heart. Lord, only You know what we have need of. Lord, we trust in You, Lord, that You'll give us grace, Lord, to carry on, to meet our needs. Lord, and to bless each and every one that's on our hearts, Lord, as our family. Or maybe a sinner, or maybe a neighbor, Lord, we think about. Lord, maybe a neighbor we pray about, Lord, asking You to get a hold of them. Lord, because they're so sweet and kind and friendly. Lord, we long to see the day that You'll save them by Your grace. Lord, like You did us. Lord, we appreciate it, Lord. Lord, we just ask You to have Your way, Lord, now in the remainder of the service. Let everything that's said and done, Lord, be only for Your glory and Your honor. Lord, we'll give You all the praise, glory, and honor that's due unto You. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask and pray all these things. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Amen. Anyone have a song in their heart? Or special they'd like to sing? Amen. If not, we'll all stand at this time and ask our brother to come. Give what the Lord's laid on his heart tonight.
Yes,
ask him, make it easy for him. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus. Mercy rewrote my life as you ask him to come.
Mercy rewrote my life.
Yes.
Song often, but how true it is, Lord, that your great mercy has overshadowed us, Lord, and truly if it wasn't for your love and your grace, Lord, that you've bestowed upon us, how we see where we would be this evening.
Yes.
And Lord, we just humbly come before you again, Lord, asking you to speak to our hearts, and Lord, just taking a few precious words and quotes, Lord, and asking that you would dip it into our hearts, Lord, maybe give us the strength that we need, Lord, to press and to climb another day. And Lord, that through it all that you would receive the glory and the honor from our lives, Lord, that it would speak back to you, that there have the preeminence of a people. And Lord, may we never fail to see that you receive all the praise for it all. And Lord, we humbly ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ and all these things. Amen. Oh, don't you love him?
Amen.
Let's just sing that little chorus, I love him, real quick. Brief to him softly.
I love him. I love him. Because he
done for us. Amen. While you're standing, if you'd like to turn your Bibles with me to the book of Mark. Amen. We'll read a scripture here in the 14th chapter. Appreciated the songs. I feel like it just kind of complements the thought. I just pray that I can bring what the Lord's laid upon my heart with in a way that it'll be helpful and maybe stir someone's heart and cause them to be encouraged. Wasn't quite what I had planned to bring this evening, but it just seemed like the Lord just took it this direction, and I would just kind of read these things and let the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts.
Amen.
Each one of us come tonight, and each one of us may have a different need, and each one of us may be praying about something that someone else isn't.
Amen.
And God knows all about us, and we just ask him to take his precious word and to give me a nugget.
Amen.
Whatever I can get, I'll take my portion this evening that he'll allot to me, and Just ask him to let it help build and give me one more step closer to him. Maybe another rung to hang on to draw me into his presence. But in Mark, the 14th chapter, I'd like to begin here. It's about the 40. We'll start here at the 39th verse. I'm sorry, I need to back up. The 32nd verse in Mark, the 14th chapter. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit ye here while I shall pray." And he taken with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And he saith unto them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch." And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed, that if it were possible that the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt." And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and he saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time and saith unto them, "Sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up and let us go. Lo, the he that betrayeth me is at hand." May the Lord bless you in his word, and you may be seated. Realizing the fulfillment of what Jesus came for, the hour was at hand. And realizing the great obstacle that lay before him, and the great pressure. And as we think of this, we must remember, and Brother Branham expressed it many times, that he was a man in the flesh. And Brother Branham expressed it kind of like this, just to set our minds in order for to think about this. And the message, "The Deity of Christ," preached December 25th, 1949. He said, "Now I'm speaking this morning on the deity of Christ so that you'll know who he is and what we're worshiping today, not a baby in a manger or not Santa Claus, but we're worshiping Almighty God in the deity of his Son. And notice then the blood that came down and was, it was Christ Jesus, and God himself coming out of spirit went into Christ Jesus. And the Bible said that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself." Is that right? The congregation says amen. God himself, Jehovah, lived in Christ, made a kinsman to us because he was born in human flesh like we are. Is that right? The blood cells were developed by God, and the flesh cells were developed in the womb of Mary that brought forth the child. And God came down and lived in human flesh and was tempted in every manner just like we are. And how we can look back and see it, as soon as he come out of the River Jordan after being filled with the Holy Ghost, and he'd been away in the wilderness being tempted 40 days and 40 nights. And as soon as the scripture says afterward, he was hungered. And then Satan come and pounced on him right then and there. He never messed with him before. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. If you notice that, as soon as he got the baptism of the Holy Ghost and he was filled with the Holy Spirit, Satan was there to test him, to try him. In the same way that he tried Adam and Eve in the garden with the word, he question, but the word says all these things. And we can go back and read it just to put it fresh in your mind of how Satan come to him. I know we've read these things many times, but sometimes it's good to go back and refresh in our minds. Luke, the 4th chapter, in the first verse, and it says, "Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward and hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it may be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore will worship me, and all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of a temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all temptations, he departed from him for a season. And how we can see everything that Satan knew why he had come. He knew the work that he was to do. And he could see it, and he was there to try to do whatever he could to divert that work from being completed. And how he all through his ministry, Satan was there to try to throw obstacles in the way. But I want you to notice that being a man, he felt pain. He bore sorrows. He had feelings. We see it as he knelt at the grave of Lazarus and he wept for his fellow man. We see all these things that knowing that he felt to be rejected, what it felt like to be loved, what it felt like to have all of these things. And then to come to this great moment of time when he knew what he had been sent for was being fulfilled and coming to fulfillment. But yet as a man to know that he was going to give his life up, going to be beaten, and to have his beard yanked from his face, and all these things that he knew was going to come upon him. And the agony that he was in, the turmoil that he was in, that Lord, if it be thy will that this cup could pass, don't make me have to go through it, Lord, but nevertheless, not my will, but thou wilt be done. And we'll just read this real quick in Luke, the 22nd chapter, kind of Luke's take on the same, as Luke was writing about the same event. And the 39th verse of the 22nd chapter, and Luke put it, he said, He came out and he went as he was, want to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if it be thy will, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as great drops of blood falling to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise, pray. Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And how each time we see in both, how, as they describe this, the agony that he was in, praying, Lord, you know, what about this situation? As we see, this was his, he knew he was sent for this purpose, to fulfill that and to have it take place. But yet in his body, he knew what was coming. And as a man, he could agonize with the turmoil that as a human spirit fighting against the Holy Spirit, I'm sure. But he brought his body under subjection to the Spirit. And how there's many things Brother Branham said about this situation and how what he went through. But I want you to stop to think as we look back through these scriptures, how each time as we go back and we can see all the different ones, starting with Moses and coming up through Noah and all of the great men of old, the trials that stood in their way and the many obstacles that raised up before them to try to prevent them from completing what God had sent them to do. And you know, we're not exempt from that. We've been sent here for a purpose. And if we've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and we can see that God has called us and drawn us to this purpose, Satan is not going to rest. He's going to be right there buffeting us, trying to do all he can to bring every obstacle, every situation of life that he can throw up in our path to see if he can get us to step away from one thing of God's precious word. And you know, as we see the great obstacles that faced them in times gone by and how we can see Job and all that he went through, and we see him stand the test of time and to be able to come out as a glory to God and the praise that his life exalted, that he would not surrender to that pressure, that whatever the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. And how we can see it in Daniel as he was thrown into the lion's den And we see that example of those Hebrew children walking up to the fiery furnace, even though they were walking the last few steps before they fell into that flame. God never moved till they landed in the midst of that fire. But he was there all the time. And how, as we go through life, these obstacles rise up, and how we oftentimes our burden gets heavy, and we sometimes may feel like we're the only ones that's going through some of the things we have to suffer, and maybe we go through, and each one of us will suffer different things. Each one of us, God knows what it takes to build the character in us that's needed. And each one of us may face a different situation in life. Each one of us, something may be more dear to my heart than it is to your heart. And that'll be the very thing that's going to test me and try me. He knows where our weaknesses lies, and we must go through that proving time to prove out that our love is greater for him than anything in this world. And how we've, maybe some of us, we can already see obstacles we've came through where we've been tested. Who did we love more, Jesus Christ or this natural life? And who, what did we hold more dear to our hearts? And as we see these things approaching, how you can see how Jesus, what an agony it must have been to be a natural man and to live in this life, yet he knew what he was going to go through. But in that human nature, how that body and his mind, knowing the burden and the agony that was upon him and all that he was going to suffer, and the pain that that body was going to bear, he felt every bit of those stripes. That pain wasn't withheld. That was pain we should have felt. That was stripes we should have bore for our iniquities. But he did it, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And he bore all of that for us. And to think that after all that he went through that day, for you and I to be able to sit here and to feel his precious Holy Spirit, and to feel that presence and to know what he's doing in our hearts and in our lives, what a thanksgiving that ought to bring to our hearts. But how it ought to make us so joyful that when the trials of life come, and maybe my burden's heavy, maybe I look back and remember what he's done for me and what he went through to be that I could be here today. And you know, our burdens get heavy and we'll suffer many things in life, some of us different than others. And you know, we see this. But God said he would not put more upon us than we could bear. And oh my, how as we travel through life, how we should draw comfort. Yes, it's never easy, these things that we'll go through, but how we must make sure that is all that's happening around us is only happening for one reason, and that's to tear us away from our trust and our belief in what Jesus Christ said he's done for us and who we are and what he said he would do through our lives. And you know, oftentimes you can look back at Samson and how he got his eyes off of what he was sent to do for a small time, and how he kind of got tangled up. But God took him and placed him down there in that dungeon, his eyes put out. But God had a purpose for all of that happening, because God knew it was going to work to his glory and his honor. And there Samson sat with his eyes put out. Can you imagine when he could look back and think of what God had told him, and that he was a Nazarite, and to what he was to do, and then to sit there helpless as he was, knowing that he had let him cut his hair off, and he knew the word had told him never to do that. God had told him not to cut his hair. But oh my, as he sat there in that old dungeon and began to feel them locks back on the back of his neck. And oh my, as he walked up here and he said, "Lord, let me die with the Philistines." And oh my, Brother Branham said how Samson prayed right that day. And oh my, he, just one more time, Lord, put strength back in these muscles. And may tonight, as we're, no matter what we're facing in life, may we look back into God's precious word and look back to the men of these examples that have been left for us. We have a job to do. We've got a goal to reach in life, and we can't let things of this life distract us. Yes, we're humans, and yes, we're sitting here with families and jobs, and all of this is taking place around us, but we've been sent for a purpose. The same as Jesus Christ was sent for a purpose, we were sent for a purpose in this last age to be a bride and a wife to him. And oh my, to be that finishing designation of him. And how we should stand up and look back and draw strength from this. There's nothing in this world that's going to give us strength to get through the trials of life we're going to face. But this will pull us through every situation. Amen. And oh my, Brother Branham said this in A Total Deliverance. He said, "Jesus was completely and totally a man," paragraph 87. This was preached Total Deliverance July 12, 1959. "Jesus was completely and totally man. He could cry like a man. He could eat like a man. He could be tired like a man. And he was completely, totally man. And in his physical being and in his spirit, he was completely, totally God. So he made flesh his so he made his flesh submissive to the spirit that was in him. You see, he was tempted in all manners, like we are. He was a man, not an angel. He was a man. He had desires and temptations just like we do. The Bible said he did. He was a man, not an angel, above temptation. Hebrews 1 said he was made lower than the angels. He was a man, completely man, that God took a complete man to bring a total deliverance. And he filled him with his spirit. The Holy Ghost was in him without measure. And he was tempted like we were. And he was completely God. He proved it when he raised the dead, when he stopped nature, the roaring seas and the mighty winds. He spoke to the trees and so forth, and they obeyed him. He was God inside. And he could have been man, for he was man, but he totally and completely delivered himself as a man into the hands of God for the service of God. And he is our example. We are men and women, we are also Christians. And if he's our example, let us completely deliver ourselves into the hands of the Holy Ghost, that we might be the subjects of the kingdom of God. He was totally man, he was totally God, but he surrendered his natural parts to his physical parts, his own thinking, his own doing, his own cares. I do only that which pleases the Father. See, look at that example that was left for us. And think of Paul in Romans, the 12th chapter. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you give your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And look at the surrender that it's going to take. We can't keep none of our own ideas. We can't keep none of ourselves, but we've got to surrender totally to the Holy Spirit in this precious word. Amen. And let it do the work in our hearts and in our lives. And oftentimes, as we see the situations that arise around us, if we could only learn to do away with our own thinking and our own thoughts and our own feelings and lean on God and let the Holy Spirit and His precious Word lead and guide us, how we would see the outcome of these situations maybe bring glory back to Jesus Christ. You know, as you stop and remember the story our brother read here a while back about the little lady that had the husband that come in and act like he was drunk. She was yielded to the Holy Spirit in such a way that she didn't go on her own feelings. She didn't go on what she thought or how she felt. But she went upon what the Word was bringing back to her mind. And how she could, and how it resulted in a life expressing exactly what Jesus Christ wanted to be manifested in her life. A little washwoman, as Brother Branham would have called her, there at home cooking, doing her thing. But oh, look at how God was magnified and glorified through that life. And how we each one have these situations that are arising in our life. And sometimes we think, all these just happened by chance. No, God lets every situation arise for some reason or the other to build and direct our paths. For the footsteps of the righteous are ordained of God. And we see these things, and as Brother Branham often put it, don't take me around, but Lord, give me the grace and the strength to go through it. And how as we see these things arise and see them come up in our hearts and in our lives, we see these great situations and oh my, and we sometimes, it maybe the burden feels so great, is like, oh, I just don't know how much more I can go, how much longer I can bear this that's maybe pressing on me or bearing down on me. But we must remember, we must first off go back to Jesus Christ in prayer. Find that little prayer closet and get back in this and get under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit deal with our hearts and show us why we've been sent here. Renew us in the Spirit, O Lord. You know, you didn't see Jesus go over and grab Peter and say, Peter, you know, and try to draw. He pray with me. But Jesus was agonizing. He was praying. And it was him pouring out his heart. And oh my, how much more he wants to hear from us when we see these situations arise, when we think we just can't go another mile. How it ought to drive us to our knees that, Lord, there's a reason this is happening. There's a reason this is here, Lord. Let me find the center of your will to take me through this, Lord, that it will bring glory to your name and honor back to you, Lord, for the reason that this is happening around me. And God will use it for His glory and honor, but we've got to get ourselves out of the way and yield to Him to let Him have His way. And you know, as I speak these things, I often, as I was praying before I come to church, I said, You know, sometimes maybe I've never experienced what some of you will go through in your life. And sometimes you feel inadequate to come and tell somebody else how to deal with something in their life that maybe you've never had to deal with. But God's precious word has dealt with all of our situations. Amen. And Jesus Christ has been through everything and more than you'll ever deal with in your life. Amen. And he's the one that I'm telling you to go to for advice and leadership. He's the one that will guide you through every step if you will yield yourself to him and get our own thoughts and ideas out of the way and truly say, Lord, you lead and guide me and make sure that I'm yielded to you 100%. He'll work it to his glory and honor. I want you to think about this. I know we've all read this many times, but this is Brother Branham speaking of the great trial in his life when he had disobeyed the Lord and God had not answered his prayer. But I just want you to notice, this is paragraph 33, and I didn't write down the name. I've got the year it was preached, April 18, 1957. I have it back there in the room. I can get it for you if somebody would want it after service. But on paragraph 33, he says, I knelt down on my knees with the doors closed, and I said, Oh God, Father, there lays my wife and my baby's mother laying yonder in the undertaker's morgue. There's Billy Paul on the bed, sick. And here is my baby dying. You surely, Lord, won't take her. I love her, and she resembles her mother, and I want to raise her. Won't you please, O God, spare my baby's life? And as I looked up, as you all know, I've always been subject to visions, and it seemed like a black sheet began to unfold, coming down as if God took my prayer and threw it right back in my face. And I said, What have I done, God? Have I transgressed your laws that I should have this punishment? If it is, you just reveal it, and I'll repent. I'll do anything, but don't take my baby. And I seen she was going anyhow, and I raised up. And then the tempter came. And oh my, when we're under the great stress of what we're going through, that's when he's going to come. That's when we need the strength of the Holy Ghost. That's when we need the power that lies not within ourselves, but what we can do, but what he can do through us. For greater is he that in us than he that's in all the world. Amen. And how we must recognize that it's not in our strength alone. It's not in what I know of this message. It's not in what I know of that Bible. But it's what the strength that he will put in me and what he will bring to my remembrance to take me through these things that I face. He said, and then the tempter came to me. And there was one time in all my life that I can call it was the crucial moment, my Gethsemane. When I was just barely holding to the bed, the devil said, There you are. That's the reward for trying to serve him. You mean that he's taking young 22-year-old mother, lay her yonder in a corpse in the morgue, and will take the precious baby, your own flesh and blood, and slam your prayer right in your face? And then you mean to say that you will serve him? See what it was all about? Satan was just trying to destroy the plan for which God had sent him. He was just trying to deter him, to take him away. This and that for himself, but he was trying to destroy God's plan. And each thing as it rises, that's how Satan uses it for, to try to distort it and to take it that distance. And he said, I was standing between an opinion and it had to be decided. And then I put my hand over on her little head and I said, The Lord gave, the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And I felt relief. And I said, Sherry, honey, Daddy cannot go where you are now, but Daddy can come someday and I'll lay in the arm of Mother and bury you, but Daddy will see you again someday. And Mr. Eisler, who is probably sitting present now, the ex-senator here of Indiana, I was going up the highway, and Mr. Eisler, I guess you can well remember, I had my hands behind me going up the graveyard right after the flood, weeping. I used to go up there in the evening, and an old turtle dove would sit over in the tree and would sing to me, and it seemed like down through the breezes of the pine trees, it seemed like the old song would whisper through it, saying, There is a land beyond the river that we call the sweet forever. We only reach that shore by faith's degree. And one by one we'll gain the portal there to dwell with the immortal. Someday they'll ring those golden bells for you and me. And Mr. Eisler, driving his old truck, jumped up, put his arm around me, and he said, I've heard you preaching on the street corner, Billy. I've seen you standing in the tabernacle. I've heard you at the hymn singing and how you exalted Christ and what you said he was. And now he has taken your father, your brother, your wife, your baby, and said, Now what does he mean to you? I said, Mr. Eisler, if he would send me to the regions of the lost, I would still love him. For what one day down yonder in an old coal shed, something happened down here in my heart that there is nothing can rub it out. It was nothing that I did. It was God's eternal grace that held me in that great hour of decision. When our blessed Lord in Gethsemane, when he was going there, when he was to be rejected at Jerusalem and the council was going to take his life, when the eternal destination of every soul that ever was or would be on earth rested upon his decision. Oh, how little mine was in comparison to that. How little yours was in comparison to that. And such a pity that we can't stand these little things. And as we think about that kind of a testimony, and as we travel through life and we face our trials and our tests and many things that happen, I wonder if we can remember that he's been there before us. He's experienced all you're going to experience, and he knows what's happening and why it's happening, and he can see the end from the beginning. But, you know, we can look back and we can see in the book of Acts, Stephen being stoned. We can see all of these ones that gave their lives, the mothers that were destroyed in the arenas, and all of these different, the Christians that gave their lives and their blood for their testimony to prove that they held true to what they believed it with all their heart. And how it backed up what they went through and what they had to suffer and what they've gone through. And then as we get here and stand these tests and trials in this last age, we may not have to give our physical life. But can these little tests and trials of life swallow me up so bad that the stress of maybe having to go through a situation that I'm in or this happening around me, can it swallow me up so bad that I forget? As Brother Branham could draw back in his mind, he said, but one day back in that little coal shed, something happened to me. Do we have that place in our life that we can go back to and say, let me tell you what happened one day in my heart, and this is why, no matter what happens around me, I'm serving the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the things that hold, that's what will hold us, that will in the middle of the will. But if we don't know that for sure and we're trying to go on a bluff, then life just swallows us up and we lose our testimony. But oh my, as our pastor has stressed the importance of knowing that you've been born again and to see that happen in our lives and to know it's holding us. You know, many of us are going to face many things. As we've got young people that are coming up, and as you grow up and as you maybe wish to get married, you're going to face tests and trials with it. You may really want to be married, and maybe there isn't anyone that you can find that would make a good husband. Maybe you want all these things, but yet the burden is there, but Satan's going to be right there all the time trying to entertain the thought, well, I know if you just leave that little church or if you just get away from your religion, there's all kinds of husbands. That's what it's what he's there to tempt you with. Look at all the pleasures that's out here in the world. If you'll just give up what you claim to believe, that's what he's sent here for. That's his job, and he's good at it. But Jesus Christ is greater than he ever was, and he placed something down on the inside of his little elect that cannot be shaken. And by God's grace, it'll hold through that. But you can't go on your own thinking, I'm bigger than this and I've got that. But you've got to find your place every day in God's precious word. And in this Holy Spirit, let him lead us and guide us. For he is what's holding us. We're not holding ourselves. Amen. And we must lean upon him wholly. For as Paul said, he could do all things through Christ who strengthens him. And we must remember that. We can't do nothing in ourselves. We don't have the right words to speak. We don't have the right actions to bring. But if we'll just lay in the presence of the Holy Spirit, he knows what we're going through. He knows what we're facing. Amen. And cry out to him, he will work it out in our behalf. For Romans 8:28 said, all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. And oh, if you can lay your soul's rest in that you know you've been called according to his purpose, it'll work out. It may not work out the way we want it to. It may not work out exactly how we think it should, but God will work it to his glory if we'll just let him have the preeminence and the control. Amen.
Let's see here. This is in the message.
The harvest time. Brother Branham was speaking here. Paragraph 143. He says, we as Christians are only reflecting him. The moon only reflects the sun in its absence, and the believer only reflects the Son of God in the absence of the Son of God. It's the light of the Bible, the scriptures being vindicated in our lives, the word that makes light in darkness. Your candles that set up on a hill, that ain't the sun, it's a candle. The candle just takes the place of the sun, just shows a certain amount of light. We are God's children. We are sons and daughters of God only by the Spirit with portion. He had it without a portion. And we are a star that's shining, all of us together, to make a light to the world. But he is the entire sun that reflects the light to every star. He says, hallelujah, I believe him. God help my unbelief. Finally, he is this perfect one arrived, and he arrived to be tempted in every point just like we are. The Bible said he was. He was tempted like Noah. He was tempted like Moses. He was tempted like all the rest of them. And if we had time to break that down and show you, but we haven't, because I don't want to take too much of your time. But to break it down and show you, he was tempted in the same manner. And Satan never changes his tactic, neither does God. Just changes ages. And what Satan got in back there to the first family of God on earth, here it is, brother, sister, don't fail to get this. How did Satan get the first family? He couldn't break it no other way but to get that word broke. For they were fortified behind that word. But if he could only get one gap, and that's how he has got every church in every age, got every believer, just pull that gap out and say, well, I believe the Bible is right, but I don't believe that. And oh, how we should hunker down into the presence of the Holy Spirit and ask him to take this precious word and to fortify us and to make sure that we don't have those gaps that's laying in there. That if anything, I might be a wife that's got a husband that's just almost miserable to live with. I might be a vice versa, either way. Or I might be a mother and father that's got a child that's just trying me to no end. Or I might be a child that has a mother and father that's just doing all they can to destroy my belief and to take me away from God's precious word. But oh my, but if we can at least find ourselves in this precious word. Maybe my husband's being awful mean to me as a wife and mistreating me, but that doesn't give me a right to break God's word and to say I've got a right to stand back up. I must make sure I'm doing it exactly the way God's word wants it to be done. Maybe it's vice versa, the husband to the other way, husband or parents to children. It don't matter. All these situations in life surround us, and they come our way every day. The Bible says a man's foes will be those of his own household. How we see all of these things that are just obstructing us. But oh my, and trying to tear down who we are? No. But trying to destroy God's plan that he would have the preeminence in a people in this last age. And that they would be a shining light to reflect forth his life in this last day in which we're living. But God has prepared a people and sent a people here that he would have the full preeminence in their heart and life. And that every action, no matter how heavy the trial gets, how heavy the burden is, he'll take us through it. He's not going to lift it. He's not going to take it away, but he'll see us through it. And when we get through it, we'll be able to look back and say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done. And then you'll be able to see what is happening on the backside. Amen. You know, you looked at the scriptures and if you just read the first part of a lot of these situations and never went and saw how it ended, oh, what a terrible picture it appears to be. But God had a purpose for everything happening just like it did. And oh my, we're not exempt from it. God's got a plan and a purpose for each one of us to declare to this people and to this nation that Jesus Christ is alive and living in our hearts and our lives. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. I'm going to turn over to the book of Hebrews and read something here if you'd like to follow along. It's Hebrews the 11th chapter. I'll read this 32nd verse here. Amen. And Paul speaking, he says, and what shall I more say? Or the time to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Japheth and of David also and of Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions and quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword and out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. And women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection, and others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, tempted, and were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, and being destitute and afflicted and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all of these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having obtained some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And oh my, when we look back at all these witnesses and all that they have to show that they've been through, how it ought to give us strength and courage, though we might be going through things that tears our heart out, that's driving us to the ground, that's just, oh, it's a heavy load sometimes, the things that we have to deal with and may be surrounding us. But don't ever forget from whence your strength comes. Remember Job sitting back there, how he never once, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And how we see all this happening, but may we always remember where our strength comes from. And make sure that we always consider what he's been through. He knows. He knows exactly what we're going through. It's not something new. But oh my, if we'll just take it to him in prayer and truly consider his word, he'll bring it about to his glory, and it'll work to your benefit and good. And oh my, each and every one of us, may we find strength in knowing and remembering what he's done for us and the burden that he bore to all to go to have. Just think of the price he paid for that precious blood to be spilled and all that he done, that I could stand here today and feel his presence and to feel that precious Holy Spirit and to know that he's with me wherever I go and he's leading and guiding. Oh, may we truly draw on him more than we ever have. Amen. Let's y'all stand if you would. And maybe we could sing that little chorus, "I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord," as we ask our brother to come. Pray something was said that we could draw some strength from, something to make us more thankful for what God has done, to really dwell upon that he paid a great price for us. And oh my, all that he give us through paying that price. Every redemption, everything of redemption was there. He bought my salvation. And all that I could be bought back. Oh, I thank him that all I stand here tonight. Amen. I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord. I'm reaching out to you. Oh, your arm is not too short, and you can reach me too. And as I pray and press my way into your kingdom true, I'll grow to be more like you just by reaching out to you. And I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord. I'm reaching out to you. Oh, your arm is not too short, and you can reach me through. As I pray, this is my way to your presence.
So thankful that he's been there to reach out to. Amen. So many times down through life, and I'm sure you are too. Amen. I really enjoyed that. Did you? And I really, really enjoyed that. And I thank the Lord I was able to be here tonight. Amen. By his mercy, his grace, and through his love. Amen. May we keep pressing, saints. It's going to end one of these days. Amen. I'm looking forward to it. That great event of the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this is all preparing us for. Amen. May we take advantage of every moment of it God gives us. Amen. Let us bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, again we want to thank you from the depths of our heart that you made this possible, that we could be here and to hear the precious Word of God. And Lord, it's more than just words to us. It's more than just readings and somebody speaking about the things that you've spoken of. It's such a reality, Lord, and it's such a blessing. And every time we hear the Word of God, it's such a strength to our hearts and encouragement. And the Lord gives us understanding of how to face life's journey. And each one of us, Lord, maybe our journey is just a little bit different. We may have just a little different roads we have to travel. And there may be a little different heights of the mountains we must climb and the depthness of the valleys we must go through. Lord, we're so thankful to know that you're there with us, regardless what journey we have to take on this earth. So we appreciate God's word tonight and trust it's been an encouragement and strength to each and every one of us. And Father, as we come to the close of the service, may we truly, Lord, be seeking the will of God in our hearts and our lives as individuals. And Father, strive to be those sons and daughters of God that are led by the Spirit of God. We thank you again now for this day. And thank you, Lord, for all your blessings this day. And Father, it makes me think, Lord, as our brother mentioned about the little lady that her husband coming home with the men and pretending like they were drunk and so forth. And Father, the little song that was upon her heart. And your prophet said that she was Holy Ghost filled. And Lord, that little song that was on her heart was, must Jesus bear the cross alone? And all this world go free. And oh, there's a cross, yes, for you and me. Father, we know that there's a cross for us too that we must bear. And Father, we trust that through your mercy and grace, we'll be that people that you can depend on, Lord, and know that and trust and depend on Lord as you did Job. Regardless of what he went through, he stayed true to your word. And may we be a people just like Job, Lord. So we pray thy will be done in our lives now. Watch over us and guide us again as you keep us safe as we make our journeys home. We ask in your glory and praise and honor in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and love. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing it, of course, again as we sing it. I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord. I'm reaching out to you. I know your arms not too short. You can reach me too. Oh, thank you, Lord. Yeah.